goodness. We got, I got so many things I got to get to, but it's Top Text Tuesday today, by the way. So I kind of let the Hooligans tell me where they want to go. You guys want to stay on the Jeremy Grant thing? We can certainly do that. I want to get to that because McLean's firing off. Dixon's going at it. You guys are going at it on the Nuggets side of things. I still have the Nuggets. You guys are passionate about the Nuggets. You're fighting for that Nuggets gift bag. We got the gym bag back there, the Nikola Jokic hoodie. All the bumper stickers, the signs, those like steel signs that you can put up in your garage. Great decoration. All that and so much more, man. I mean, it's like $150 value. Hooking you, dude. Is that all we do on the show? Is just hook Hooligans up, man. Red Wing Shoes is doing a deal where you can go win a free pair of boots just by signing up. I'll tell you more about one of our great sponsors at Manweiler Appliance, a hardware store on Main Street, Windsor. You can win a grill there. I mean, I feel like all I do is hook you guys up, and you just come at me like this. I mean, my goodness, it's a crime, really. Colfax, we got to recap the NFL week that was. Man, it feels a lot better doing this when the Broncos can win a game, so I'm not so down in the dumps about everything. And let's face it, there's a lot of intrigue when it comes to who's really going to be who's going to be there when it's all said and done. Is it going to be Kansas City? Is it going to be Pittsburgh? Tampa Bay perhaps takes a step back last night, but I wouldn't count them out just yet. People love to count out Tommy B now. They're either all in or all out.
Over an outstretched hand, and it's too far! Too far for Brady and intercepted! Jordan Fuller comes up with his second interception of the night.
That was a rough one. That was rough at the end there. Tampa Bay, see, this is what goes to show you. Sometimes they look perfect. But why is Ronald Jones, who's like one of the best yard producers in the league, get 10 carries and 24 yards? Did they call Pat Shurmur to get that, to get the rundown on how the Broncos do it? Is that what it was? My goodness. All right, Colfax, let us take you back to a simpler time. On Thursday Night Football, I called the Seahawks to beat the Cardinals and cover the spread. You're welcome.
Wilson is going to scramble, now throw, end zone, touchdown, Metcalf. Marked him at the 11, Wilson sets up, end zone, and caught by Lockett for the touchdown.
I love watching DK Metcalf. He is like, if a tree were to have arms and legs and be really fast and good at catching footballs, I like to think that that's what they'd be like. DK Metcalf, he's just a monster of a man. Imagine trying to tackle that guy, Colfax. My neck hurts just looking at that, watching him play football. Wow. Seattle gets the win. Dolphins, Broncos, we all know that story. And there's nothing special about it, folks. Run the football. Give it to Gordon. Give it to Philip Lindsay. You're going to find ways to win games. The Cleveland Browns, why does it not feel like they're 7-3? It doesn't feel like they're 7-3. They're one of the best teams in football, Colfax. Are really? Well, Nick Chubb is carrying this team, man. 20 carries. I want a running back like that. 20 carries, 114 yards. I want a commitment to a running game. Browns beat the Eagles 22-17. Saints Falcons. Taysom Hill. I don't know if you noticed this, Dixon. I don't know, because I know I've had some Hooligans text me. I believe the fantasy football gods removed Taysom Hill and his eligibility from you putting him in as tight end. Since he lines up at tight end sometimes for the Saints when Drew Brees is there. Well, now that he's the starting quarterback until Brees gets healthy, they removed him from that. How much does that impact some of you? Saints win 24-9 over the Falcons. Hill was 18-23, 233 yards, and 51 yards carrying. Nice fantasy numbers. They're two touchdowns, by the way. Washington football team and the Bengals. Washington wins 20-9. This was a strange game for many reasons. Alex Smith comes in, right, a couple weeks ago. He gets another win added on. It's cool to see him doing it. But then you also see Joe Burrow, who tore his ACL, MCL, and some other ligaments in his leg. They're saying he's going to be out this season for sure. Maybe even miss a significant time next season. So I suppose if there's anyone to lean on about a comeback as far as injuries, it might be Alex Smith. The Panthers-Lions. Panthers win 20-0. I can't figure out the Panthers. I just can't. They're 4-7. They seem like a better team, and then they seem like a worse team when they do win. They're a very confusing football team. Steelers and Jags. Are the Steelers going to win the Super Bowl? They are 10-0, Colfax. 27-3. They whooped up on Jacksonville. It was rough. Ugh. Titans, Ravens, and Ravens are 6-4. The Browns have a better record than the Baltimore Ravens, and the Titans just gave the ball to Derrick Henry. And I said he needed to get one of those games where he's like 150, 100. He had 133 yards and a touchdown, but he had a 30-yard run to end it in overtime. When you have a running back that can end a game for you in overtime, you are doing something right. You are living right. And the Titans are 7-3 with Derrick Henry just bulldozing people. Texans, Patriots. I still like watching Houston, even though they're a train wreck and they've fired their coach weeks ago. But they beat another train wreck right now. And the Patriots. The Patriots are 4-6. Texans found a way to win for only their third win of the season. 27-20. Jets, Chargers. Nope, the Jets are still completely defeated. Chargers win 34-28. Justin Herbert tossed 3 touchdowns in that game. Packers and the Colts. The Colts win 34-31. And again, I say this, somehow, some way, Phillip Rivers is getting the job done.
12th play of the drive, Rivers, end zone, and caught for the touchdown, diving grab by Trey Burton.
Cowboys, Vikings. The Cowboys found a way to get it done. Wow, they're 3-7. That division is still up in the air. I mean, wow, that's awful. But the Vikings were cooking for a bit. I thought they were going to climb back to 500. Just couldn't get it done. Kirk Cousins tossed three touchdowns. And Dalvin Cook with another monster game. Love seeing this. 27 carries for Dalvin Cook. 115 yards and a touchdown. Okay, this was a game. This next one here. Raiders, Chiefs. Chiefs lost to the Raiders once. Would it happen again? The Raiders go down and score. Was anybody concerned that the Chiefs weren't going to go right down the field and do this?
Under a minute now. Mahomes hanging in the pocket, fires, and that is Kelce. Great protection again. Mahomes to the end zone, wide open. Touchdown, Kelce. Patrick Mahomes, who extends plays like no other.
I mean, that was easy. That was just easy. It's pleasing to the eye to watch Kansas City's offense, and it also makes you want to throw up in your mouth. It's kind of like watching the Golden State Warriors. It does. It's if you could make the Kansas City, the Golden State Warriors into a football team, wouldn't it be the Golden State Warriors? They could be down by 10, they could be down by 20. It doesn't matter. No lead is safe. They're shooting outside like crazy. I mean, the Chiefs are the Golden State Warriors in their prime. With the Curry and Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant days. That's what the Chiefs are. They're annoyingly good. And that is the recap for, the way it kind of went down for Week 11. Week 11, we're already there. And they said we couldn't get it done. The NFL's over halfway done. We're moving on to Week 12. And we'll start setting our sights on Saints Broncos. Can the Broncos make it 2 in a row? 15 after the hour. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, let's catch up with Chris Dempsey. Let's unpack it. Where did it all go wrong for the Nuggets and Jerami Grant? Did they do enough to overcome that loss? Can they truly contend with a Lakers team that just got better over the weekend? It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
You want football? Set your dial to KFKA. Hear NFL games all season long on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
A Live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, welcome back. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Joining us on our First Advantage hotline, our Nuggets insider, Chris Dempsey. Chris, I know you are absolutely slammed. There's more news than I could possibly hope to keep up with in the NBA, so we appreciate the time, my friend.
Yeah, no problem at all. No problem at all. Always love being on.
What was that? Sorry, Chris, I didn't hear you that last part.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I just said always love being on. No problem at all.
And if you have to go for some reason because you're getting an update, you let us know because it's nuts, man. All right, so Chris, help us out. Listeners are going crazy the last couple of days. We felt really good about the Jerami Grant situation. That was the piece that was going to tie it all together.
Yeah.
What went wrong ultimately?
Well, what went wrong was Detroit really selling him on a roll and on being a bigger part of what they're doing than he would have been with the Nuggets, which, you know, it's got to be that role has to be huge because he was a really big part of what the Nuggets
were
doing. But I think if you're the Detroit Pistons, what you do is you come in and you say, well, guess what? Will Barton's coming back. Gary Harris probably will be a better version of himself. And Paul Millsap is on the verge at that point in time. That hadn't been done yet, but Paul Millsap, you know, could also come back. And so then what you do is the sell job is how big is that role for you? I mean, you know, I know you played a big role in the playoffs, but with all these players coming back and with them wanting to get more minutes for MPJ and Bol Bol, what does that mean for you? And so, you know, at the end of the day, that speaks to the player, especially if the dollars are the same. So, you know, the dollars were the same, but the opportunity to play and Detroit's ability to sell him on being a bigger part of what they are trying to build there than he would have been with the Nuggets really spoke to him and obviously ultimately sealed the deal.
And Chris, I get it. You know, every player has their things that they're about at whatever stage in their career. Grant's 26 years old, you know, is it? But if you're saying, hey, do you want to win a championship? It's a no-brainer, Nuggets. And do you want to make money? All right, it's a no-brainer. You're getting the same amount. So I've been talking about this today. Yeah, I think you're 100% on it. He looks around. He looks at the other roles. He looks at the way the Nuggets are building their team, the more they want from MPJ. And at this stage in his career, it sounds like he'd rather be more of thought of as the guy as opposed to part of a championship team.
Well, and I think here's part two to that. Part two is, you know, if you're trying to so he's got the money for this contract, but you know, sometimes you're already thinking towards your next one and how are you going to get there as well. And you know, even if you're on a team that's winning but you didn't play a big part in the winning, you know, does that, you know, what is that doing for your ability to be, to make the most money that you could possibly make, on your, you know, subsequent contract? And so I think for Jerami Grant, yeah, you know, he could have stayed and obviously he would have made big dollars here. The dollars were the same, in Denver. But I think the other thing is that, yeah, he saw a version of himself that he really liked, and he understands that if the Pistons, well, first of all, I guess you have to believe in the philosophy and the direction that organization is going as well. And the Pistons did make a lot of changes to their roster from a year ago. But if that team starts to play well, you start to do well, you know, you start to be a big part of that. Now you're stacking a contract on top of a contract, and you're playing a role that you wanted to play. So, yeah, you know, I think sometimes It's easy for us to kind of look and go, wait, the dollars are the same, and you're on a winning team, so why would you want to leave that? And you're right, and everybody who would say that would be absolutely right. But there's sometimes just more at work behind the scenes than some of those things. And, you know, Jerami Grant saw some of that, and, you know, we wish him luck. We'll see what he is able to do and what that team really looks like. It's a lot of different players on that basketball team. And, you know, he's a new one of them. And listen, he's going to have Mason Plumlee there, a familiar face. to go along with them, and you know, we'll see what they're able to do.
No, Chris, as much as I love Plumlee, you know, I go to ESPN and I look at the depth chart for Detroit, and I mean, I know things have got to change, and they're not even getting the contracts in and everything, but Plumlee's listed as the starting center for Detroit, so you certainly wonder what the direction is for the Pistons.
Yeah, you do, especially because they had Christian Wood there last year, and he was really one of the most underrated players in the NBA. I mean, this was a very productive player for the Pistons, and obviously the Pistons weren't any good. But what he was able to do kind of as a breakout, you know, season for him was significant, and I thought that the Pistons would want to double down on that. I mean, there were some players on that roster that, of course, they wanted to part ways with. I didn't think Christian Wood would be one of them. And you saw the Houston Rockets snap him up pretty quickly on a contract that's really good for them. I mean, I think it ended up being 3 years and $41 million for Christian Wood. And for him, that's good money. That's great money, as a matter of fact. And then for the Rockets, you're getting an underrated player for a really good price. You know, in the financial market. So, yeah, I'm not sure what the Pistons are doing, but they certainly are turning over. What they definitely know they didn't want to do was do exactly the same thing as last year.
Right.
So they cleaned house, and they're starting anew.
Yeah, you're 100% right. They're definitely doing something different. And again, maybe that's more what they sold them on, building something here. You know, there with Denver, you're a part of that. They've already been building it. Building something on your own, that might be even better for your career. And again, who knows what motivates guys when it comes down to the same money. There's other things at play. And you make perfect sense looking at that. All right, so the basic question we're asking listeners today, does it feel like the Nuggets got worse over the weekend?
That's a good question. I mean, I've seen a lot of that floating around. You know, I think if you're the swap outs are, so you're talking about Jermichael Green for Jeremy Grant,
sure,
and then you're talking about losing Torrey Craig as well, and basically bringing in the guard there from Argentina. So, you know, yeah, listen, we're not familiar with those players. This is what I will say. This here's what was interesting about some of Jeremy Grant's numbers versus actually Jermichael Green's numbers on the court. There were just a great many instances where Jeremy Grant's numbers just didn't match up in terms of his analytics, his defensive ratings and what the Nuggets were doing as a team with him on the court just didn't match up sometimes with what we were seeing, because I think what we saw was a player that was pretty effective out there, but then when you would look at the numbers, the analytics all basically said that was not productive time out there. And so I could never reconcile those two things. It was actually pretty interesting just to kind of watch and see that unfold. He's making plays out there, but yet the team is a net negative when he was out on the court. Jermichael Green is a little bit different, and Jermichael Green is a little bit more of a he's a little bit more of a traditional power forward, but he can stretch out and knock down a 3-point shot. So, you know, listen, the Nuggets knew once Jeremy Grant left that they had to put the full-court press on Paul Millsap to come back, because now I think he just reprises the role as the starting power forward with Jermichael Green backing him up there. And then the Nuggets are going to have to, you know, listen, they have Bol Bol on the team. And I thought this was interesting last week as well. So after the draft, I saw a couple of, sports betting books that, you know, gave the odds for next year's Rookie of the Year. And Bol Bol was not on the list. I mean, this list was about 20 players deep, 25 players deep. Bol Bol wasn't on the list at all. And I think what they just forgot was that the NBA allowed Bol Bol to be classified, that his experience in the bubble would not take away from the fact that he will be a rookie next season. And, I would fully expect that he would be the Rookie of the Year. I think he is the best player, or he'll have the best season of those players. Now, he might not get as much of an opportunity as, like, a LaMelo Ball or Anthony Edwards, Wiseman, but Wiseman will play kind of a secondary role on that Golden State team. My point here is that the Nuggets have a very talented player that barely played. And so, you know, maybe it's for them getting him on the court, getting more of MPJ on the court. Now what you're looking at is a team that improved just because it got two hyper-talented players just significant minutes, and they are able to impact games and impact this team in a positive way. So, yeah, if you're just looking at this straight away as free agency, I don't think anybody could walk away and say that the Nuggets are a better basketball team today than they were a week ago. But I think there's room there for them to be, but it's not going to be through the free agents. It's going to be through their really talented young players.
And whether Jeremy Grant re-signed or not, wasn't that still the big mm-hmm. plan? Wasn't that still, okay, we want Michael Porter Jr. to take another step defensively. We already know his offense is going to keep growing. Bull, bull. Okay, now we just need to see more of this guy and maybe maybe just knowing the game a little bit more, knowing the professional game. So, I mean, we could talk about Jeremy Grant until we're blue in the face, but at the end of the day, the Nuggets' championship plans still mm-hmm. hinge on MPJ first and eventually Bull Bull at some point. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fair to say. And, I mean, those are two players that can be huge difference makers. And we've seen Michael Porter Jr. made the all-bubble team, the second-team all-bubble team, because he was just that good, and he could put that on the court all the time. Now it's about figuring out how to get that out of him each and every night, even when his jump shot's not going well. I think the one thing that we saw from Michael Porter Jr. was when the jumpers weren't going, then you were in real danger of him having a real subpar game. Sometimes he was able to pull himself out of that and get to the offensive glass or get in transition, get himself some easy buckets, but sometimes he wasn't. And so the question here is, every single time his jump shot is not going in a particular game, can he still rise to those numbers and getting him to stay in that consistent space no matter what? Because when his jump shot is rolling, there is no player that is going to guard that guy. I mean, he's going to just pull up from anywhere and knock in the jumpers, then you close out on him, he's going to drive by you and get into the rim. With Bull Bull, well, the thing that really intrigued me the most last year was his ability to make passes. We know that he, by now, that he is a 7-footer that can shoot, that can run the court, obviously can get straight to the rim, the easiest dunks you'll ever see, because once he just reaches his arms up there, he's already taller than the rim. And then defensively, he can alter and block a lot of shots. And so I think, these are things that are super valuable, especially with the way he can play offense in this NBA. For me, I would love to see them really just sink their teeth into him and just go get on the court. You're going to make a bunch of mistakes. You're going to take some ill-advised shots. We're going to live through that stuff, and we're going to teach you what great shots are. We're going to get you in a space that really helps the team, because these two guys are just very impactful skill sets, and I just can't underscore that enough. And I think if you're talking about potential ceilings, if Jeremy Grant leaves, okay, that's a blow this year. If that allows you to get Bobo on the court, who has a higher potential ceiling, and you get him going faster than maybe you would have in the interim, then maybe that's a net positive. We won't know that until this all plays out. But that's how I view that going forward, because I just think these two players are major, major, major talents. These aren't just role players that play that do specific things for a team. These are guys who can put points and rebounds and assists and blocks and steals on the board and really impact winning and losing.
Yeah, and I love that point, all those points too, because there's so many fans today. It's kind of like, wait, did you forget about player development, player growth? Because there's mm-hmm. still all that. I'm the first guy that was bummed. It was a terrible Friday hearing the news about Jeremy Grant. It was awful. But, you got to pick yourself up and go. There wasn't a guarantee. And this is why it is frustrating that the draft and all that, we talked about that last week, is before free agency. Who knows? Would the Nuggets have gotten more aggressive? Chris, before we look at the Lakers depth chart and what they did, how about the draft side of things? Listening to Tim Connelly last week, it doesn't sound like either of these guys, RJ Hampton or Zeke Nnaji, are going to be huge parts this season. But, man, just watching highlights and watching different and learning more and more about both of those guys, mm-hmm. you got to be excited. Do we dare get excited about this season seeing many minutes from either of those guys?
I wouldn't. I think for both of them, especially with the condensed off season, and they're going to have to hit training camp running, and then all of a sudden the season's going to start. And so I think from that standpoint, just getting them acclimated to everything in the first place is going to be, a big task. And then, getting them any kind of minutes on the court I just wouldn't expect that to be a huge thing this season for either one of them. Maybe Zeke would be closer to that because the front court with the Nuggets is still a little bit in flux. We just don't know how they're going to do that or rotate some players. For him, there might be a pathway to, I would call it maybe 10 minutes a game. Not all the time either. I think these are two young players that we just have to watch develop. And then, you wish there was a summer league. you really want to see them be able to, stretch their legs a little bit and get significant time in the game. And so we're not going to be able to see that until next summer, maybe. We'll see what happens with the pandemic. But if they do have a summer league next year, then both of these two players will be on it. And now we'll really get to see, what they're made of and what they can play and how well they can play. And they will have had, at least a bunch of practice time, maybe a little bit of game time, and just time with the big club to understand what it is to be a professional. I really do like both of these players. RJ Hampton last year about this time last year was thought to be a lottery pick, and for various things, injuries included, obviously hurt his draft stock. But this is an explosive player to the rim. Offensively, there's just not many players that's staying right in front of him. And when he gets to the rim, he's finishing. He's not just the kind of guy that gets to the rim and can't finish. He gets the rim and basically dunks. is how that works with him. So he'll just work a little bit more on his jump shot. He's been working out with former Nugget Mike Miller on that. They have a close relationship, and so that'll be a big deal because obviously we know Mike Miller was a great jump shooter. And then defensively, he'll continue to work on it as well. But good thing for him is he's got time. This is not a team that just depending on him to come in and have to have an impact. He can ease his way in, figure it all out, play in summer league next year, and then we'll see what we've got going for the following season after that. With Zeke Nagy, he's a little bit more his skill set and what he would do. You could put that on the court right now. Screen, roll to the rim. Play with a bunch of energy, defense and offense, impact the glass, and those are the things that he does the best. And so if you're asking him to do that in a 7-foot, 250-pound package, yeah, you can put that in a game, especially if there's foul trouble or injuries. He's the kind of guy that you can put in and probably get some good minutes from. Now, his offensive game was back to the basket at Arizona, but he mentioned to us that when he was in high school, he was a little bit more of a face-up guy, so he just did what he had to do for the team, for the good of the team at Arizona, but he's got much more of an offensive skill set that he's eager to show us, so we'll see about that. But both of those two players will get with the player development, and we'll watch them grow over the next few years.
If anything, Zeke can play some piano for the guys while they're warming up or whatever, too. We saw that. That was a great story on that,
exactly.
Man. I don't know why, but I love seeing players that also have a skill set like that. I don't know why, but maybe Conley talked about that, too, where it just seems like they have more capacity to learn more, to grow more. I think it's a really admirable trait to be able to know an instrument like that.
Yeah, and first of all, I love piano, and second of all, I love jazz piano. And when we asked him, me and Katie Wingy, we interviewed him after the draft, and we asked him what does he like to play best, and he said jazz piano. I had to give it the fist pump because
nice.
I'm like, yes. but yeah, I mean, what an amazing. I mean, he said he's been playing since he could remember.
That's nuts.
and so you're right. I mean, but this is also an organization that values that kind of stuff, and it's not just the talent, it's the person as well. Do they fit in with the Nuggets culture? Can they add something to the Nuggets culture? All those things are actively talked about and thought about with Tim Conley and Calvin Booth and Josh Kroenke and everybody who makes the decisions there. And so then you come up with guys like Zeke who can on and off the court really represent your franchise and their own families and themselves in the right way. And I'm looking forward to, whenever we can, get, I don't even know if we'll ever get in the same space with players ever again, but it would be nice to have some, face-to-face conversations with a lot of these new players, especially.
Yeah, no question. Chris, I just started playing the guitar last week, so, I mean, it sounds like you got the piano thing down. I know what an E minor is now, so it sounds like we got a band. We got the beginning of a band.
Yeah, we got off to a good start. We just need a drummer and maybe a singer. I don't know.
I gotta learn more than Twinkle Twinkle for my 2-year-old one. I gotta learn more than that before we start this thing, though. So give me a couple more weeks, and I'll get it down.
Yeah. If our band was playing covers of Lullabies, you'd be the singer.
Be the guy, man. Chris, appreciate it. Hey, I want to catch up with you when we can and go into the Lakers more. I'm up against a break, but, dude, appreciate you laying it out for us, man. There's a lot of moving parts, and, man, it's certainly an interesting time for the Nuggets and the rest of the NBA.
Yeah, and it's ramping up right now. 3 weeks away from training camp. Oh, 2 weeks away from training camp.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know. Crazy. Yeah. So, all right, man.
All right, dude. Chris, happy Thanksgiving, man. We're thankful to have Chris Dempsey here on the whole show every week. Appreciate it. All right, 39 minutes after the hour. Colfax, let's get the latest on the local sports.
Here, Mornings with Gail. Weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Top Text Tuesday is still happening here. It's like we forgot about that. Dixon, I'm telling you, you're a name away from winning the gift bag. You're a name away. And that's the only hint I'm going to give you on your last text. You're a name away because it wasn't that guy that did the act that you're referring to. You're a name away, man. Just that's it. I'll give you that hint. First Advantage text line 31996. Noob. Hey, I sent a check to you guys for my win last week. Thanks for not cashing it and seeing it was post-date. It should be good around 2021. a few things I'm thinking. Hey, Thanksgiving is Thursday, by the way. Yes. I love Thanksgiving. And I did decorate for Christmas. That doesn't mean I hate Thanksgiving. I like to make Thanksgiving even bigger by decorating around it. All right? And there's only so many Thanksgiving decorations that I have. I don't have any of them. None. I have zero. So I love Thanksgiving. Very excited for that. 3 football games coming up, and I will predict every single one of them. I might even throw a CSU Air Force game in there to boot. Not that boot. A few things I'm thankful for this Thanksgiving week, says Noob. Family, health. 2020 is almost over, and Dixon getting Brady fired up, and Dixon realizing that evil never wins. Happy Thanksgiving, hooligans, even my friend Dixon. Yeah, that's nice. I like that. I'm going to sit around the table and do it. What are we thankful for? Sir Charles, okay, I was not excited about the trade like everyone else. But Dempsey kind of has me stoked. How he explained the increased minutes and possibility of the overall success of the Nuggets, it's got me jacked. If these two work out, let's call them Wrigley's Double Mint Gum. Double the pleasure, double the fun. hey, I'm with you. I hope those guys work out. But I'm not going to get too excited just yet about Zeke Nagy and RJ Hampton. I love both of their stories. They were both really good in college, but man, until there's like in this draft, I don't think there's any sure things. McClain. Oh, they should have moved up in the draft for Isaiah Stewart, an Isaiah Stewart type player. If we had known about Grant, see, that's what's so stupid, right? About having the draft 2 days before free agency. I hate that. NBA needs to change that. And I think it'd be better for everybody. Entertaining, too. More entertaining. Also, don't forget, we were already contenders before Grant joined the team. The Nuggets were up and coming, right? They go to that, they win their first round of the playoffs last year, and they lose in a game 7 to Portland without Jeremy Grant. So, listen, you can look at the glass half full, half empty. Bottom line is, a lot does rest on the unknowns. On the, will MPJ step up? Will Bol Bol take another step to actually getting meaningful minutes in the regular season, not just the bubble? McClain, why don't we take all the best Hooligans texters and put them on a team so they can win every top text Tuesday and they'll just get all the prizes? That's what the Lakers do. It's disgusting. How can LeBron James feel that he's actually close to Michael Jordan? You just went and got another star. I mean, Marc Gasol might not be super, superstar, but he's a star. How can you be, you LeBron James fans that think he's the GOAT, how can you really think this? I mean, he leaves Cleveland, he goes to Miami, he gets Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, arguably basketball Hall of Famers, And he goes back to Cleveland. Oh, there's Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving suddenly. All-stars. I almost said pro bowlers. All-stars there. And then that kind of runs its course. And, oh, let me jump over to L.A. I know they're going to suck, but Anthony Davis will be a free agent by the time I'm ready to go. I mean, he shut himself. They basically shut him down 2 years ago because they were like, there's no point in playing this anymore. He uprooted the entire organization. And is bringing in his own guys. Yes, I do agree. He's a damn good general manager because he can sell himself onto a team. He can say, hey, come play with me. We're good at winning championships. I'm not saying LeBron's not one of the greatest of all time. Don't ever get me wrong there. He absolutely is. But he's not the GOAT. He never will be. He's already screwed that up several times over. He keeps joining. He's one of the greatest of all time, but he's not the GOAT. Dixon, I would change it to Grant, but kind of want you to give this prize to somebody else. yeah, we got the Nuggets gift bag up and ready to rock and roll. Who's going to get it? All right, we'll find out next. Get text in. You got about 4 minutes to fire off those texts. First Advantage text line 31996. Eastside Chris wants to know what the Nuggets starting lineup will be projected. I'm going Murray, Harris, MPJ, Paul Millsap, and Nikola Jokic. Not a big change other than the MPJ for Will Barton. We'll be right back.
It's a party. Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The Hooligan's Anthem, Colfax. It works. You work sometimes. yeah, we still got another show before Thanksgiving. All the Hooligans are getting a little sentimental here on a Tuesday, but that's okay. I like it. We got to crown a winner here, Colfax. We had three texters that could have potentially won today, could have walked away with the Denver Nuggets gift set that we have, thanks to Fresh Coat Painters South Platte. Love Fresh Coat. You don't win today, you could still be a winner. Call them, and you get a free painting quote and a free mini cooler. 970-414-4131. Kind of a toss-up. A lot of texts I didn't get to today. We had a tough interview. A lot of great interviews. Chris Dempsey broke it all down for us. That guy, man, I love listening to him talk some Denver Nuggets. Let's see. Colfax? We are finally giving away the Nuggets memorabilia today. Sir Charles is getting the gift bag. You get it. It's here for you, Sir Charles. You earned it. Congratulations, my friend. You got it. It's here at 1310 KFKA. I got other texts coming in, but it's just too late. We usually chop it off there about 53 or so. Sir Charles wins the Denver Nuggets gift bag. Stay tuned. Another prize will now be loaded up from Fresh Coat Painters South Platte. Sir Charles, tell him what he's won. Sir Charles gets the Denver Nuggets gym bag, a Nikola Jokic hoodie, a bunch of bumper stickers and all these other cool things that go with this. Thanks for participating, Top Text Tuesday. Let's keep it rolling. We'll get back at it next Tuesday. I'm on for one more day tomorrow, and then we're off. We're playing football a lot on Thursday and Friday, so we're looking forward to that. But we'll be back on a Wednesday tomorrow, so stick with us, Hooligans. Good night, Northern Colorado.